Well, I will say my good morning to everyone and happy Sabbath. It is good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. What do you say? And we're almost at the end of June, halfway through the year. And it seemed as if the year began 2 weeks ago. And it ties into what you were saying earlier, Elder, that Jesus is soon to come, because time is really wrapping up and it is flying right before our very eyes. I am glad to be here in the land of the living, worshiping with my brothers and sisters one more time. And it is my humble pleasure to stand at this desk and just to say a few words on behalf of our Lord. Let's pray together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I want to thank CJ for our scripture reading, and I'll read it for emphasis' sake in Exodus chapter 32, Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. Our topic for today is the blessing of delay. The blessing of delay. So I recently had to travel to South Carolina and had to catch a connecting flight. Now, I personally don't like connecting flights because several things happen. One, your luggage tends to get lost. Two, your flight is delayed. Or three, you miss your connecting flight. Situation for me was my flight was delayed. The thought of any type of delay always created stress for me. As a result, I began to experience a host of thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Delay can create anxiety. I began to stress whether I would catch my connecting flight, if I had time to pick up my rental car from the airport and drive the 75 miles to my final destination and be on time. Delay can create fear of the unknown. What's the reason for the delay? Delay can create doubt. Maybe I did not interview as well as I thought. Maybe they liked the other candidate better than me. Delay can create impatience. What's taking so long? My delivery should have been here by now. It's after 5 p.m. and still no delivery. Delay can create anger, resentment, helplessness, uncertainty, and other negative feelings and emotions. But delay can also create a sense of relief. The test from the doctor's office was delayed because the doctor wanted to run the test a second time to be certain of the results. Ultimately, you receive the all-clear sign and given a clean bill of health. The wait is over. The outcome is positive. The children of Israel was a group of people who did not handle delay well. The word of the Lord says in Exodus 32, and when the people saw Moses delayed coming down out of the mount, they gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, we don't know what's happening or what has happened to him. Now, Moses done what he's always done in the past. He went up into the mountains to commune with God. However, this time was different. This time he stayed longer. This time he would return with the tables of stone written with the finger of God. The people were well aware that Moses went into the mountain to commune with God. They saw the cloud of thick darkness that covered the mountain. They saw the lightning of God's divine presence, which illuminated the mountain peak. They waited with great anticipation for Moses to return. His longer than unusual delay caused uncertainty, which led the children of Israel back into idolatry that perhaps many had practiced in Egypt. They had a hard time trusting in an invisible being. They wanted and demanded a visible representation. They said, "Make us gods who can go before us." The question is raised, how did the children of Israel get here? How did they go from God delivering them out of the hands of the Egyptians and parting the Red Sea to now make us gods? I believe in Psalms 106 gives us the answer. Psalms 106 verse 21 says, "They forgot. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt." In our former church, we would sing a song, kind of like a chorus, and the song was, "He has done great things, he has done great things." And we kept on singing, "He has made a way, he has made a way, he made a way, he made a way, he has made a way." And because God has done great things, and because he's made a way, we then say, "I'm going to let my little light shine. I'm going to let my little light shine, shine, shine. I'm going to let my little light shine." They forgot. They forgot after traveling for 3 days in the wilderness, they ran out of water. No water for the women, no water for the children, no water for men, no water for the cattle, no water for beasts. And when they did find water, what was that? The water was bitter. They forgot that after murmuring and complaining against Moses, he cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. They forgot that when he, Moses, cast the tree into the water that was bitter now became sweet. They forgot how God provided that heavenly manna. Every day they had food to eat, with extra on the sixth day, so they wouldn't have to go out of their tents to collect food on the seventh day Sabbath. They forgot. They forgot how God blessed them with victory over their enemies, the Amalekites. You know, the Amalekites who came up against the Israelites and Moses. Moses instructed Joshua to take men and to choose men to go and fight against this ruthless foe. The Amalekites didn't believe in fighting fair. They attacked Israel from the rear, where the young, weak, and feeble were. While Joseph was fighting in the valley, Moses was on the mountain with the rod of God in his hand. As long as Moses held up the rod, Israel prevailed. This raised a second question. Are we any different than the children of Israel? Have we forgotten how God has delivered us? God wanted Israel to learn total and complete dependence upon him. God wanted Israel to learn the importance of walking by faith and not by sight. Yet, they forgot. Have we forgotten how God has healed us in the past? Have we forgotten how God has made a way for us, how he provided jobs for us, a home to live in? Have we forgotten the word of the Lord where he says, "I love you with an everlasting love, therefore I'll never leave you nor forsake you"? God was ever trying to teach Israel to trust and have faith in him. The Red Sea seems to be an unmovable obstacle, but there would be other impossibilities to test their faith. Each time God would show them he could and would provide for their every need. What immovable obstacles presented itself, and that has caused us, you and I, to doubt God's power or his ability to move them? I know that the issues and the challenges of life can be overwhelming and at times can cause great concern and great fear. God is challenging us to trust in him, the invisible, all-knowing, and all-powerful God, who is maker and creator of heaven, earth, and the seas and the fountains of waters. In testimony of to the churches, volume 9, page 10, it reminds us we have nothing to fear for the future except we forget the way the Lord has led us and his teachings in our past history. Yes, the way may be dark and uncertain, but may we find ourselves trusting in God. Patriots and Prophets, page 315, states, during this period of waiting, there was time for the Israelites to meditate upon the law of God. They had heard and were and should have prepared their hearts to receive further revelations that he might make to them. They had none too much time for this work, and had they been thus seeking a clear understanding of God's requirement and humbling their hearts before him, they would have been shielded from temptation. But they did not do this, and they soon became careless, inattentive, and lawless. Careless. Let's define it. Not giving sufficient attention or thought to avoiding harm or error. They just wanted to do what they wanted to do. Inattentive. Not paying attention. They neglected to consider that what had taken place since leaving Egypt. Lawless. Not governed by or obedient to the laws. They refused to obey the word of the Lord. It is interesting that the children of Israel are described as being lawless. God wanted to be in a covenant relationship with them. He desired that they would be his peculiar treasure above all people, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. God gives Moses specific instructions for how Israel should prepare to meet him. They were to sanctify themselves. These instructions also included a border being placed around the mountain so that man and beast could keep a safe distance from the mountain. Any deviation from this would surely bring about death. God comes, speaks to the children of Israel. He outlines his Ten Commandments, the laws that man, you and I, should live by. Here, there would be no more important piece of legislation in human history as these words. These words came not only out of the mouth of God, but they were written with his own finger on two tablets of stone. We find in the Ten Commandments laws a religious and moral code that is immovable and unchangeable. These laws are not subject to debate on the floor of the House of the Representatives. These laws are not subject to the vote of the United States Senate or any other world government. But the word of the Lord, these are the words of the Lord. The policies and laws of men are subject to change, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. As a result of the people hearing the voice of God, In Exodus chapter 24 and verse number 7, they respond, "All that the Lord have said, we will do and be obedient." The excitement of the occasion caused the people, no doubt, to agree to keep God's law. However, as we know from Scripture, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The people had little to no knowledge of their own heart and thus made an agreement without fully understanding the spiritual requirements of the law. You know, sometimes we can make an agreement and we'll sign a contract, and it's after we've signed the contract, we went, "Oh, I didn't know." And what do they tell you when looking at a contract? Read the small print. And we've all been down this road before. You know how it is on New Year's Day. We'll make that New Year's resolution. I'm guilty. We'll make a New Year's resolution on New Year's Day. And by January the 3rd, we totally forgot about the promises that we've made. I'm going to stay away from eating ice cream late at night. I'm going to stay away from eating all of the sweets. Our performance ever lags behind our promises. What caused the people rebellious behavior? Their behavior was a result of the mixed multitude who had been first to engage in the murmuring and impatience. They were the leaders in the apostasy that followed. Among the many objects and symbols that the Egyptians regarded as deity was a cow, or a calf, and a bull. It was at this encouragement of those who had practiced this type of idol worship that a calf was made and worshiped. Aaron, who should have been and remained a strong leader in Moses' absence, heard the demands of the people, and he honored their request. If only Aaron had stood firm, the people would have understood the blessing of Moses' delay. While Moses was away communing with God, the people were sinking deeper and deeper into idolatry. They did not understand the ultimate purpose for God's visiting with Moses. They did not understand that Moses' time with God was to be a great blessing for the people. The blessing which God wanted to bestow upon his people was his divine presence. God said in Exodus chapter 28, or chapter 25, and verse number 8, "Let them make me," or "let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them." That was and has always been God's desire, to allow his divine presence to dwell among those whom he created. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8, we see God coming to visit with, to dwell, or to commune with the keepers of the garden. These visits had to have been the highlight of Adam and Eve's day. Think about it. God himself would come and visit with them. God wants to visit with us, you and I, as well, so that we might experience the fullness of his joy and his presence. So he gave us a day to rest from all our labor, a day to commune with him, a day of refreshing, a day of joy, and a day of peace. The word of the Lord says in John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus, the eternal Word, who has always been with the Father, was now to become Emmanuel, meaning God with us. I remember a little testimony here. I remember when we decided prayerfully to relocate from Florida to Georgia. And as we was talking and as we was just really trying to see where God was leading, I remember like it was yesterday, and I told Donna, I say, look, if we go to Georgia and we both have God, our jobs, and God is not with us, we're in trouble. But if we go to Georgia and neither one of us have jobs, yet God is with us, everything's going to be all right. And the scripture says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Moses' extended time with God proved to be a great blessing and a benefit to the people. He received not only the tablets of stone, but he also received instructions for the construction of the sanctuary and the furnishings that were to be placed within. The instructions given by God to Moses was a direct pattern or model after the heavenly sanctuary. Moses was directed to follow every detail of the divine instruction. God, being very meticulous about the details and instructions given to Moses as it related to the sanctuary, it is no mistake that God begins his instructions to Moses with the focal point of the sanctuary, and that is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was to contain the tablets of stone, the rod of Aaron, and the bowl of manna. But more importantly, the mercy seat of God above the Ark. It's here we find justice, the law of God, and mercy, the mercy seat of God. God gave Moses everything that was to be in the sanctuary, the table of showbread, the lampstands, the candlesticks, the altar of burnt offerings, the oil which represented the Holy Spirit. God ends his instructions with a review of the Sabbath law in Exodus chapter 31 and beginning with verse number 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord. I, who make you holy, observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For six days, work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting or perpetual covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on the mount, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone written with the finger of God. I like verse 16. Verse 16 states, it shall be a perpetual covenant, meaning his covenant is never ending. His covenant is never changing. The Sabbath is a day that God instituted as a memorial of creation, a day in which, at the completion of his work, he rested. Not that he was physically tired, but that his work was very good and complete. God not only rested on the seventh day, but he blessed it and sanctified it. The blessing of the seventh day implies that it was a special day, an object of his divine favor, a day that would bring blessing to all his creatures. As the people of God readied themselves to begin the construction of the sanctuary, Moses gathered them for final instructions. He reminded them that the sanctuary work is important, and it is a place where God will come to be with his people. What a contrast from the previous gathering, you know, where the people gathered themselves together and demanded that Aaron would get up and make them gods. This gathering with Moses bore all of the hallmarks of a people who now had repented of their ways and were ready now to do what the Lord had commanded them. They were no longer interested in worshiping a calf of their own creation. They were now ready to worship the true and the living God. The sanctuary is now constructed with all of the furnishings in their appropriate places, just as God commanded. What a transformation. As a result of Moses and the children of Israel doing all that the Lord said in Exodus chapter 40 and verse number 34, it says, "The glory of the Lord filled the temple." Here we see the ultimate reward for work well done. But more importantly, we see the realization of God desiring to be near his people. He revealed himself as a loving and forgiving God, one who is faithful, merciful, and forgiving. He is full of compassion, long-suffering, and patient with us. He delayed in his returning. His delay in his returning is not because he does not care or he is slack concerning his promise. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says this, The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as we sometimes understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with us, not wanting any to perish, but everyone come to repentance. The truth is that God will keep his promise with or without delay according to his timing. Any perceived delay from our perspective is due to God's long suffering, who allows man as much time as possible to repent. Know and believe and understand, God's delay is a blessing. He wishes that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for in that in your delay, it's for our good. And even in your delay, Father, as mentioned earlier, there is a work for us to do. And that work is the sharing and the spreading of the gospel in all in whom we come in contact with. In fact, we are reminded that had we been more diligent in spreading the gospel, had we been more diligent in sharing the love of Jesus with all in whom we come in contact with, Christ would have come. But because you're so gracious, because you're so loving, because you're so kind, you delay. Not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. We very well may have family members and friends who have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. May we do all that we can to encourage them to take advantage of this opportunity. For one day you shall come. The word of the Lord say, he that shall come, he will come, and he will not tarry. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the blessing of delay. In Jesus' name, amen.